Is my out or is it just out? I put a fresh battery in. Are we okay? You let me know if it goes out. Let's stand. See, you couldn't even hear me say when I said let's stand because it went out. Amen. We've got another mic here if we need it. Don't let me just keep going if things are going wrong. Just, you know, give me a sign. Let me know. I can't always hear what you hear, but I get a sense. Turning our Bibles to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This morning we are united and independent. I know these seem contrary, but I promise you they fit well together. And if you were here last Sunday morning, this is part two of our mission and vision, our mission to go make disciples, our vision to touch 1,000 lives with this gospel. And this is a key pillar in that mission and vision that is to be the church outside of these walls. Reading in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." God wants to affirm the work that he's doing. He wants there to be signs that follow after them that believe. He wants to affirm it. He's not asking us to take steps of faith and just being like, well, convince them with your oratory or whatever. No, he wants to fulfill his word in our lives, that we would be a witness in this world. "And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." And here's where we want to focus. "And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house." They operated as a church in the temple, and they operated as a church outside of the temple, house to house. "And they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And when there is unity, when there is a body that exists not just in a church building but outside of a church building, and then the Lord added to the church, not the building, to the kingdom of God, he added to the church daily such as should be saved." This morning I'd like to share with you what is part two of God's vision and mission for this body of believers, and it's right here in verse 46. "They continued in the temple, and they continued house to house." Would you pray with me one more time? Would you ask God's word to go forth? Would you exercise your voice and call out to him with me right now? Jesus, God, we need to hear from you, God. We need a moving of your spirit. We need an affirmation, God, that you are in this and that you are for us and that you have ordained us for such a time as this, God. I pray your blessing and your anointing on the word as it goes forth. Let it accomplish your perfect will in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. According to the scriptures, the body of Christ, that is the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. I know we call this place a church, and it is a house of worship. This, in fact, is a sanctuary. This is a place where we present ourselves a living sacrifice. But this is not the church. This is the church. And the church here in the scriptures, they operated in two modes. They operated united in one accord in the temple, like we are here this morning. And they also operated in the breaking of bread from house to house. This is what I'm asking you to do on New Year's Eve night. To be the church, house to house, to break bread with one another, to have communion one with another. It's here in the scriptures. We are going to fulfill that example. We are to operate centralized here on Sundays and Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, and we operate decentralized on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and the rest of the day on Saturday. And brothers and sisters, it is God's will to operate as a church both collectively and autonomously when we're not assembled together. If our relationship with God, if our commitment to God is limited to this building, to the walls, the place on Airline Road, then we are missing the majority of what God has for us. We ought to be able to operate united and independent in the kingdom of God. Let me ask you this question. Would you agree with this statement? God wants to add people to his kingdom. Amen. There you go. Verbalize it. Thank you. His word instructs us. It's so clear. We know this. It's part of our nature, our culture. It's his will that we would work with him to see the body, the church, the ecclesia, not the building, but the people grow, the number and the quantity, because he paid the price for everyone's sin up front, that whosoever would could come. And now that we have this truth, that this promise, this thing that God has given us, this gift of salvation, there's a very clear progression and expectation that we mature to a place where we then sow it into someone else. We pour in that same love that God has poured into us into someone else. And would you agree that we all play a part in expanding the kingdom of God? That's not to say that any one of us can save anyone. We can't. But we are called to become witnesses of God's plan of salvation to those people that God has put in our lives. And we can't save everyone, but we can save whoever we cross paths with, or we can be a witness to whoever we cross paths with. And sometimes that witness isn't words that we say, but a life that is lived. The Bible says to love our neighbor like ourselves is a fulfillment of all the scriptures, because there's no way we would have gotten to that point where we love our neighbor like ourselves except we obeyed and lived a life consecrated unto God and had that communion with God at the highest priority. We met our family at the second priority and the church family at the third priority. And if you get to the fourth priority, if you get to the everyone else who isn't God, your family, or your church family, well, then truly the love of God is operating in your life in such a way that it brings all the scriptures into fulfillment, because there's an order in which God operates in our lives as he grows our capacity and ability to do his will. It's by his design and his divine nature that we become like him, to show God to other people through us. Reading again our opening text, starting in verse 46, and they continued daily in one accord in the temple, and the breaking of bread from house to house did they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. When we operate in this mode, there will be a natural result that is a praise of God and a favor with all the people, and consequently the Lord will add to the church such as should be saved. This outcome of adding to the church is not an action, but it's a reaction. It's an outcome. It's a consequence. If we ever get ourselves so focused on what we have to do in order to win someone, the winning someone is the outcome of the doing of other things, to love our neighbor like ourselves, to be the church house to house, to have unity when we gather together. And when this body, this congregation comes together in unity and obedience to the purpose, to the mission and the vision to reach a lost and dying world, when we can operate outside of these walls as an autonomous arm or an autonomous leg, ministering to each other, ministering to those that God has put in our path, ministering house to house, you can't measure that on a Sunday morning based on attendance. You can't measure our effectiveness outside these walls on the faithfulness to the house of God. Sunday mornings is just a slice of the pie. Sunday evenings is just a slice of the pie. Wednesdays and Saturday mornings is just a portion of the whole. I know I shouldn't have used the food analogy. If you're hungry this morning, I'm already looking forward, I was so close to buying a pie this week, and I had to stop myself and say, no, there's going to be pie soon, and more than you should have soon, so don't overreact with the anticipation for what is to come. And when you go to buy a pie, you don't buy a slice of pie, you buy the whole pie, and then you start eating them slices at a time. If we just take a slice, we're missing the whole. We need it. It's not one or the other, it's everything. I'm grateful. I said it Wednesday night. I'm grateful for the schedule. I'm grateful for service schedules so that we know when to gather together. It would be ridiculous. It would be crazy for us to not have a schedule to know when to gather together and just be like, well, we'll show up and we'll see if anybody else shows up, but I don't know if the musicians will be there. I don't know if the singers will be there. I don't know, right? No, no, we need some things on the calendar. We need some points in time. In fact, I said Wednesday night, I'm grateful because that schedule helps me to be faithful to God in certain areas in my life that maybe I wouldn't be as faithful to, except there was a schedule. And so I'm grateful for the schedule, but if we limit ourselves to just the schedule, if we limit ourselves to just the things that are on the church calendar, if we limit ourselves to just the fellowship that's organized for us. Tonight we have a missionary to a country that isn't looking for missionaries. Interesting enough, the Jews are not looking for converts. They're not out trying to convert people into Judaism. You have to be born a Jew. And oddly enough, we actually agree. You have to be born into this New Testament, to be born again, to be born of the water, born of the Spirit. And while the Jews are not looking for rebirth into the family of God, the Church of the Living God is seeking such to be saved that whosoever would want to come could come. And here's how that process happens. The Word of God is so clear. If we turn in our Bibles to John chapter 15, verse 2, when we allow God to be the highest priority, when we first take steps in obedience to Him, not that we have everything mastered, because we'll never have everything mastered, but as we continually take steps growing and maturing, there will be a very natural outcome that we won't have to have concocted in ourselves or made to come to pass. It'll just come to pass because God's Spirit always works. Here in John chapter 15, verse 2, it says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." This is one of those precious promises to guarantee that our obedience, through our obedience, Christ will be formed in us. His divine nature will become our nature. As I was praying this morning, I was contemplating, and I felt God spoke to me a little bit in maybe it was a revelation, maybe not. But as we mature in our walk with God, we were talking about the cloud of pillar and fire that was such a vivid sign in the sky that said, here's where you go and here's where you shall be and here's where you stop and here's where you start. And as God's prophetic plan unfolded, it became ever less big signs in the sky and more subtlety, and to the point where as we walk with God, as we are a Spirit-filled vessel of God, His thoughts become our thoughts. His ways become our ways. And no longer do we need some big sign in the sky or some incredible move to tell us this is what we ought to do and this is where we ought to be. And so it is with us as our thoughts become His thoughts, or His thoughts become our thoughts. It becomes more subtle because it's just ingrained in us, engrafted into us. If we continue to read in John chapter 15, verse 4, it says, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Because His Spirit always works, church. His Spirit always produces. "He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall walk and ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." Here in John chapter 15, the Word of God says if we're not reproductive, God will start to trim our branches off. And even when we are productive, He will then sometimes prune our branches off so we'll be even more productive. Either way, we're going to have some branches in our lives pruned at times as God moves, as He orchestrates things in our lives and allow things to happen. Sometimes God, unfortunately, He even prunes individuals from His own body, from the church. Can I tell you, there's never a good reason to die on the vine in the church, but it happens nonetheless. But here there's a responsibility for every individual. We each have an individual responsibility to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. According to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only," not only when you gather together, not only when you congregate in a place and a time for service, but now much more in my absence, when you're not together, when you're not in a place, when you're not in that time, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is not to say that we somehow produce salvation or that we, through works, can somehow earn salvation, but it is a responsibility that God has given every individual to take steps of obedience on their own, to choose to serve the Lord, to, through those steps of obedience, allow God's Spirit to then grow into and blossom in ways that would cause us to take more steps, which leads to more steps, and it becomes a virtuous cycle that fuels and feeds itself. If you turn to Luke chapter 13, verse 6, we read a very similar story about non-fruit-bearing trees. Can I preface this parable with the fact that there are no such trees in the kingdom of God? There are no such trees that don't bear fruit in the body of Christ. Because His Spirit, it always works. It always produces fruit when it's allowed to work. Luke chapter 13, verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Spoiler alert, that fig tree is you and I planted in the church, the body of Christ. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. And he said to the dresser of his vineyard, "Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, this born-again saint, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth the ground? Why let it take up space?" And he answering, the dresser of the vineyard, said unto him, "Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, to fertilize it, to dig a trench to water it. And if even after that year, after giving it that extra attention, if it bear fruit, well, great, it can stay. And if not, well then, thou shalt cut it down." That seems so harsh. Isn't God gracious? Isn't He long-suffering and patient? And it's true, He is gracious, He is patient, but He can't break the promise of His own word that His Spirit always works, and if His Spirit isn't working, then it's not Him who has fallen short. He's willing to wait for those late bloomers. We're not talking about a tree that has grown into perfection, we're talking about a tree that's produced anything at all. As we just read, for 3 years, the saint that never produced any fruit, the Lord God says, it's time to make room for someone who will produce, who will take steps, any steps of obedience to let the fruit hang from the tree. But perhaps their pastor replies, "Lord, don't cut them yet. Let me speak words of life into them. Let me invest some time in them. Let me allow the love of God to pour out of me into them." And if there isn't a response in a year or some time, if there isn't a reproduction, there's still chance, Lord. Just give them one more chance. Why would God be so harsh about time, the timeline to produce fruit? "Because he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." There is no way for it to not bring forth fruit, or we, the tree, to not bring forth fruit if we are the branch that's engrafted into the tree that is God. Every little thing we do and every big thing we do, every step of obedience we take, even being here this morning, is a step in the right direction that, as we continue to take steps, will produce fruit. And our fruitfulness will only be derailed by our own lack of steps in faithfulness as we take steps in obedience to the Word of God. We can't jump into the action of reaching a lost and dying world if we haven't first started to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives. Remember the priority, God first. That's what we're talking about. Spending time with God, allowing His Spirit to work in us, allowing His Word to filter into our minds, will always produce something that will allow us to then be blessed in those other areas, in our families, in our church family, and those that are around us. to grow the love of God in us through His Spirit in us. You know, when you slice an apple or you cut an orange, the seeds are in the fruit. There's a very natural picture that God has given us, an illustration in every fruit that has a seed that you have to partake of it or cut into it. And when we display that spiritual fruit, there is a seed of truth that is implanted in it. And when we minister or bless someone or just be a friend, a listening ear to someone else, there's a transmission of spiritual fruit into their lives and a seed of truth that goes with it. We can't reach a lost and dying world out of our own abilities, our own talent, our own understanding. There has to be a fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit of the Spirit it can't be decided. It can only be grown through obedience, through a walk with God, a communion with the Lord God Almighty. It's those everyday things, not just the Sundays, not just the Wednesdays, that allow us to become that reproductive saint. As a body, we need to be together, to be united in a place like this, united in worship like we've done here this morning. But as much as we need to come together, we need to be equally capable to operate independently. Not wholly reliant on a congregation, not wholly reliant on a platform and musicians and singers. Not waiting to be in a place on Airline Road to minister. Minister one to another, minister unto God. Our commitment to God should always over time grow. And it often does start in a place like this. I thank God for the church. I thank God for a place that we can invite visitors, a place where we can expose them to a Spirit-filled environment of worship. I thank God for the centralized body that comes together on Sundays and Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. And I equally thank God for the decentralized body that operates Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. We need both. It's not one or the other. United and independent in the kingdom of God. And when we are that, when we push ourselves past just operating effectively in the sanctuary, it's then that the Lord will add to the church daily. Such as should be saved. When they continued every day, either in the temple, the building where we worship in, or in the breaking of bread from house to house. You know, there is something about food that brings us together. There is a natural connection that's made when we sit around a table and we eat, whatever it is, one with another. There is a praise of God and having favor with the people when there is a signalist of heart. So let's take a look in the mirror here for a moment and maybe grade our own scorecard, collectively and individually as a body. How well does this body come together when there's a service or something on the calendar? You don't have to answer that. We probably all have a unique perspective. And I would say, from my perspective, that we do very well. And if you consider the fact that it's by God's design that we will never all be at exactly the same point in our walk with God, we should never expect everyone to be everywhere every time, because not everyone is at the same point in their commitment to God as we are. And so if we ever were to the place where everyone was exactly the same point in their commitment to God, something went wrong, because we haven't brought anybody new into the family recently, right? We've all become professionals. Well, something didn't happen that should have happened if that's the case. So there will always be people at every stage and every step of the process, and as it ought to be. And so if we consider that, well, then we may even give ourselves as a congregation an even higher mark, because there is great faithfulness in this body of believers. When the doors are open, there are individuals, you don't have to wonder if they're going to be in church, because they will be in church. They will be in church even when they shouldn't be in church. And I'm grateful for those people that text me this morning saying, "Pastor, I'm so sorry I'm not going to be there this morning. I am sick. I don't want to spread this to anybody else. And I just want to give you the green light to stay home if you're sick." To not feel shame or condemnation because you weren't able to be with the body, because I know you have a great commitment to this body, so great that you would bring that infection into this place and share it with all of us. Lord, help us. And if that's you, that if that describes your commitment to God, let me just thank you for being a pillar in this church. Your faithfulness to the house of God, to this place of worship, it provides stability. Sometimes it provides stability to yourself, and sometimes it provides stability to someone else. Because there's always going to be times when we need to lean on someone else's strength. When we don't necessarily feel it for ourselves, but we know that there's a place where we can go, a support group where we can come together and we can receive some encouragement one from another. I'm blessed when I see God bless you. And likewise, we are all blessed when we see God minister and move in each other's lives. And so, again, by my perspective, by my estimates, we would score well to very well in terms of our ability to come together united as a body of believers. We have church, and we know how to have church, and we have gifted, talented individuals that help to minister, and there's a great faithfulness, a great commitment to that. So if we score well to very well there, let me ask you then, how do we operate as a body when there isn't a service? How do we do when there isn't a special event that's scheduled? How do we score in comparison to that early church that broke bread and went house to house? When was the last time you invited a brother or sister out for coffee or to have a bite to eat? Now, I'm not talking about the number of friends that you have on Facebook. That's not the kind of fellowship outside of these walls that I'm talking about. You know, the world is ever trying to lead us away from reality into some virtual reality, to live in a digital world where our connections, our friends, are digital in nature. But it's not God's will that we interact in that kind of distant retreat from reality, rather that we embrace the fellowship to love our brothers and sisters in the Lord, to be the church, not just when there is a service on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday evenings and Saturday morning prayer. Let me ask, when was the last time you opened up your house for game night with another family? When was the last time you offered to teach or to host a Bible study? Now, I probably have some visibility into this and some I don't have. But I'm grateful for what I do see, that this is actually happening, that there are individuals that actually open up their house for times of prayer. Individuals that proactively seek out, oh, there's a new family here, I want to make sure we invite them over so we can make a connection with them. They're ministering house to house. They're ministering as the church outside these walls when they do that. And I'm grateful for those individuals that have taken those steps. Whether they knew they were taking them or not, they are fulfilling the Word of God. I'm grateful that there are individuals that have decided we're going to get together for prayer at this time in the morning or this time in the day. Or I in fact, just recently had some ladies come to me and say, hey, well, we've got this burden. We feel like there's an opportunity to go through this book on prayer. And as a group, we all take steps as we sharpen ourselves one to another, iron sharpeneth iron. And I said, praise God, that is the informal ministry that God wants to have take place regularly in this body. But you don't need to have a title to do that. You don't need a department to endorse it. It doesn't need to be on the church calendar for it to be an event. Now, this is where we sometimes, and I'm sure I myself have been guilty of this too, we want the affirmation of the pulpit in order to have that endorsement, so that we think that it will attract someone to the thing that God has called us to do. And I would challenge you on that to say, if God is speaking that to you, you don't need any pulpit to endorse it. If everything has to funnel through a pulpit, we will limit the power of God moving amongst us. This is not the centralized point. This is the point of launching off into it, not the point in which everything must funnel through. Are you with me? Amen. Sometimes individuals will come to me with suggestions, kind of in the form of complaints. why don't we have this thing? Or why don't we have a group for this demographic? Or why don't we do that other thing I saw that some other church is doing? Why don't we, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it might be? And themselves are good suggestions, but maybe they've forgotten that they too are children of God and endued with power to bind and loose. And if you feel like God is leading you to walk and to pray, to do prayer walks, then you shouldn't wait for a prayer walk to be organized in order to do what God is leading you to do. If you feel like, I want to do an all-night prayer meeting, you should do an all-night prayer meeting. You shouldn't wait for it to be organized. These are all good things. And if you are thinking them, if God is speaking them to you, let me just reaffirm, that's God. When that thought keeps coming back, I think you ought to listen to the voice of God that's speaking to you to do these things and not wait for someone to tell you to do them. We've lost half, if not more, of the pie that is everything that God is wanting his body to be and to do and to fulfill when we limit ourselves to just the things that are formal. There's times, and as individuals have felt a calling or a desire to minister to a group, and there just wasn't an opportunity formally, like a formal opportunity to be a part of a team or a department. I have, even in recent times, encouraged them to minister informally. They don't need to be a department. You really feel like this group or this person or that, right, whatever it is that you have a burden for, then you should go and take steps to fulfill that burden. Don't wait. And if it's God, which I'm pretty sure it is God speaking to you, then he will open up a door for you to actually fulfill it. But you have to take that step to extend yourself, to make an invitation. And when you make that invitation, you know, make it, you know, small. We build relationships one step at a time. Hey, I'd like to meet you. What's your name? Would you like to get together for coffee? How about breakfast? Oh, this was really fun. We should do it again sometime, right? The simple steps, ministering one to another. In business, there are different strategies and approaches that can be applied, and maybe you've heard of some of these. There's the top-down strategy, and then there's a bottom-up strategy. A top-down strategy says, and as can be very effective in leading a group to have that focus, and that, you know, everything has to fit into a structure, everything has to roll up to the top, and there is a lot of emphasis of that, whatever that mission vision is for that company, top-down, that then everything has to be a supporting pillar, and that's good, and it's effective, and it works, especially when you have a large organization where it's very easy for things to go in their own directions. It's a top-down approach, top-down strategy. But then there's other companies that have embraced a different strategy, a more organic strategy, a bottoms-up strategy. I remember reading a study about a company that its method of hiring individuals, as it itself was seeing a significant amount of success, its strategy in acquiring new talent was to always hire the best of the best. To do whatever it took, pay whatever was needed in order to acquire the top talent, because when you do that, you don't have to tell them what to do. But when you acquire, you know, the spectrum, there's always someone that has to then be taught and someone that needs a lot of help. And so you just burn up a lot of time now helping and structuring instead of doing. And so why spend all the money there when you can spend the money here on the best of the best? Two different strategies. And so this bottom-up strategy doesn't wait for a top-down organization to tell everyone what to do. A bottom-up strategy says, no, we're just going to have people that are really ability to take steps on their own, and we're going to let them do what they do best, which is why we brought them into this company. In the church, in the body of Christ, we need both. God is the authority that drives the top-down strategy that we all need to conform to and be certain that we don't step outside of. But equally as important as the bottom-up strategy, that he has made us all ministers, one to another. There are multiple examples of this principle in the scriptures, this bottom-up approach. In Philemon chapter 1, verse 2, Paul addresses the saints of God, the church in thine house. To our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Not the church on Airline Road, the church at your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, Paul addresses the house of Stephanas. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. There's that fruit again. And that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, not to a department, not to a calendar, ministering one to another, house to house. I beseech you, brethren, that you submit yourselves unto everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. When you see someone else doing that, you ought to step right in and do it too. Here we see the New Testament churches has this ability to serve both formally and informally, to work at times united and at times to work autonomously. In Acts chapter 20, verse 18, the Apostle Luke says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ." In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, it says that after the apostles were beaten and released, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer the shame for his name. And daily in the temple, and daily in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? In the temple and in the house? It's not one or the other, it's both. I'm so grateful for the many services we have and the faithfulness of this body. I don't want to throw away or discard any of those times. As we approach this holiday season with some new traditions, I promise you we are in no way, shape, or form looking to decrease the number of services or remove our regular schedule on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, Saturday morning prayer. These are all well solidified, and we will do our best to protect them. Because I appreciate the schedule, because what it allows me to be faithful, to be a blessing and receive a blessing because of that schedule. And I'm grateful because this place is where new babies are most often born. That's not to say that you can't be filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in someone's home because of a home Bible study, but history would tell us most often it takes place in this place or a place like this. And so we need that schedule, we need that structure, we need that top-down, but we can't limit it to those things that are scheduled and top-down. And if we do limit it, we'll circumvent the things that God wants to do. This morning, as musicians come, as we turn to our last scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, God has called every one of us to be a minister. We have the ministry of reconciliation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, To whom coming, speaking of Jesus Christ, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Jesus is that chief cornerstone, the corner in which all other stones are to be lined up against, and we are those other stones. Jesus Christ, that living stone, that chief cornerstone, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer. Apostolic Faith Church is both united by our collective commitment to God and independent. We are empowered to represent Jesus Christ wherever we go, every step that we take. It's not one or the other. It's both, united and independent. And so as we continue to move forward collectively, as you have so faithfully for so many years, I'm certain that we will continue to reach for even greater levels of unity, but at the same time, God has called us to minister house to house, to be the church outside these walls, to meet the needs of the people with whoever it is that we cross paths with. Not just limited to Sundays, not just limited to Wednesdays, but to touch whoever it is, our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our family, to connect with one another. There was an incredible thing that took place at the couples retreat as testimony. Every individual, every couple that I circled back with to ask, well, how was it? What did you think? They not only was their marriage blessed and enriched by the teaching that went forth, but what they all said universally, 100%, there was something that happened when we came together. When we went through this thing as a group, there was a solidifying of that group. And something, some strength has come out of it. And that was just one example. And I know that was a formal thing. It was on the calendar and all this, right? And I know that not everybody could be a part of it. I know not everyone is married. And so we're not, it's not an exclusive club. It's just an example of that the body draws strength when it operates together, when it goes through things together, when it ministers one to another, when it's not limited to the formal things, when we allow the informal things to be equally as important. Would you stand with me this morning? The Lord will add to the church daily such as should be saved when we allow the church to not be limited to an address, to a schedule. When we allow ourselves to take part in it, to recognize the role that God has given us. And not just to the world and the lost, but to each other. The Bible says that they'll know that you are the real church because of the love you have one for another. Remember the priority order: God, your family, your church family. As we progress into obedience to the Word of God, it starts with God. Our individual commitment of prayer and reading and communion with Him. And certainly as we come together in services, that is part of it, but that is just a slice, not the whole. And then our family, we minister to our family. We ought to make sure that we've met the needs of our own immediate family before we reach across the aisle to bless someone else. But as we do, we will naturally want to now bless someone else outside of our family. And the first place we ought to look is to each other. Because when we connect with each other, we become united as a body, and all of a sudden nothing can be withheld from us. As we open up the altar this morning, I wonder if you wouldn't ask God to put someone in this body, an individual, a family. God, who is it that you would have me to connect with, to minister to be a brother or sister with, to grow a relationship, to be the church outside these walls? Would you come this morning? Would you ask Him?